Good evening, everyone. Thank you for making such a vigorous chant for us tonight, Judy. That was super. Yeah. Makes a difference. Yes. And it's invented for that. It's energy, action. Well, we're just starting this wonderful description, or I guess you could call it a description or a conversation about the Genjo Koan, a very elaborate conversation that starts out by talking about the history of Buddhism, really, the Buddhist ideas that arose after Shakyamuni Buddha. Nothing ever stays the same, Buddha said, and it included his teaching. They tried eventually to write it down exactly what he said and remember it forever, but then people had new ideas about it and began to elaborate on that teaching. And then other people began to elaborate in other ways until there were many schools. And then many schools who argued with each other endlessly about how many angels were on the head of a pin, almost. It's just such a human way that we go about trying to understand how things are. And if we get so caught up in the idea of it, the reality of it kind of flies out the window. However, these ideas are very powerful ideas and all of them very helpful. And he points out that they all are appearing in Dogen's Genjo through the Heart Sutra. And he has a wonderful explanation, kind of explanation of the Heart Sutra in here that I hope you all have a chance to read, because it's invaluable. If you want to know what the Heart Sutra is trying to do, it's a way of describing it. He starts out by talking about something called the Four Dharma Seals, which are the original teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, that there is suffering, and that there is impermanence, and that there is no fixed self or soul, and that there is a way to be tranquil. From this, he develops especially the sense that the lack of the soul, because Hinduism was based on Atman, and the whole effort of Hindu practice is to connect, as it mostly is in most religions, is to find some way of connecting with heaven. And Buddha's teaching was that there is no self to connect to anything. Then it's all right here. It's nowhere else. There's nowhere else to go. It was a radical change. And of course, the teaching of impermanence and change is so obvious, and yet we so resist it, that it was important to emphasize that this is the way it is. you can rail against it, but in the end, it's all changing all the time. It's all impermanent. So, of course, he emphasizes that Buddha didn't say there is no I. There is, of course, a person. We have to get out of bed and be somebody every morning. But it's important to realize that it's a very ephemeral, transitory identification that we call me, and that it's changing all the time. And we try to hold on to it and try to maintain our identity, be somebody that people can point to with their finger, the dent. But in the end, of course, it comes and goes. It came, it's going to go. Actually, it goes every morning, noon, and night. Though we don't notice until finally it's over, and then in a few generations nobody even remembers who we were. It's kind of strange, but it's true. Nobody even knows who Buddha was. Really. So he talks about these three schools of Buddhism that grew out of Buddha's teaching: Madhyamaka, Yogacara, and Tathagatagarbha, because they're all mentioned in the first three, or in the second, third, and fourth of the first statements of the Genjo Koan. So it's important to know them. The second sentence of the Genjo Koan presents a perspective of reality that developed out of a continued effort to understand certain important philosophical points in the teachings of the Buddha. Nagarjuna, who was considered the founder of the Mahayana schools, established a system based on emptiness teachings of the Prajnaparamita sutras, of which the Heart Sutra is the best known. The Madhyamaka school, formed during the 4th and 5th centuries, was based on the teachings of, and it engaged in continuous debate with another Mahayana school, the Yogacara. So the Yogacara analyzed human consciousness to try to explain how the individual creates suffering. Why do we do this anyway? What is the matter with us? They thought that human consciousness was made up of 8 layers. Our minds, and we've talked about this before, about the Alaya Vijnana as the storehouse consciousness, full of seeds that arise, good seeds and bad seeds, and then we choose what to develop or not to develop. So in a way, it's up to us how we enact our life. These teachings are continuing. There are ways, rather clumsy ways, I would say, of trying to unthink Buddha's teaching, find the way around in it, to feel how it is, because it's not ideas. You could call it a sensation, really, based on these philosophical notions. So the philosophers in the Yogacara said that everything we experience is stored in the alaya, and it's a very deep consciousness, and that's how we know how to behave. The Tathagata Garbha is the one that explains how it's possible for ordinary beings to change their lives from samsara to nirvana. How can we do this transformation? We start out with feet of clay. How can we do this? And it says we can do this because all living beings have Buddha nature to start with. So that was the teaching that Dogen started with and was confused by, because he said, if all beings have Buddha nature, why are we practicing? Why don't we just go around and be Buddha? And none of the teachers in Kyoto, where he was, could tell him, could help him to find that understanding of why. And that's why he went to China and why he came back and wrote the Genjo Koan. And that is he first I'll read you this. So we can see that the teachings of emptiness of the Madhyamaka school, the theory of consciousness only of the Yogacara school, and the theory of the Tathagata Garbha, as well as other Mahayana schools and philosophies, evolved as a result of their effort to explain various points of Buddhist teaching of cause and effect. Through this process, however, the Mahayana movement in general eventually developed what may be a fundamentally different teaching from that of early Buddhism. And that's what we're inheriting. In the second sentence of Genjo Koan, Dogen Zenji presents this fundamental teaching of Mahayana Buddhism, creating a pronounced contrast to the first sentence. This essential Mahayana teaching appears in the basic message of the Heart Sutra. What he says about the Heart Sutra is that it presents the teachings of Buddha. I always say it puts them out on the blackboard, writes them all out very carefully, and then erases them, takes it all away. It's really very strange when you first look at it and realize what it's saying. Wait a minute. But it's a very powerful way of conveying something that can't be said, which is really the whole idea. Because the basis of this whole practice really cannot be said. And the Heart Sutra makes the effort to create a condition where it can be experienced. It's really quite brilliant. Early Buddhist teaching maintained that the whole world is made up of only five skandhas. They're aggregates. You know, aggregates is like the rock you find with a lot of rocks in it. That's just a junk, a bunch of junk all stuck together. That's what we're made of. That's what everything is made of. Five aggregates: form, sensation, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness. The Buddha taught these five skandhas to describe everything that exists. In human beings, only the first skanda form is a material aggregate. The other four are mental. So the Buddha taught that human beings are really only made up of body and mind. There's no such thing as a fundamental essence, soul, or Atman that exists apart from the body and mind. But the beginning of the Heart Sutra, in fact, negates all of the skandhas, the elements of being. It says there are no five skandhas because they, like everything else, are empty. In this sense, the Heart Sutra does negate the Buddha's teaching. This is a main difference between Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism, early Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. It says there's no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, no old age and death, no extinction of old age and death. Well, this is the teaching of the 12 links all the way around the circle. That Buddha carefully outlined, says no. So that's negating the whole thing, all 10 links. And yet, as he says, they've never disappeared. No suffering, no origination, no stopping, no path. This is the negation of suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path to nirvana. And it says no before each one. Those are the four basic teachings of Buddha. The noble truth. He says, if those who created the Heart Sutra wanted to negate Buddha's teaching, they would not have claimed to be followers of the Buddha, but these in fact were, and the Heart Sutra states that it contains the true teaching of the Buddha, even though a no appears before all of the basic teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha in the text. It's very important that we understand what these negations mean. They were written to help us realize the freedom that the Buddha taught, of freedom from attachment. In this case, attachment to the concepts that narrow our ability to respond to reality as it unfolds. Even the teachings of Buddhism are empty and should not be clung to as irrefutable truth. As usual, attachment is the crux of it. That even the words of Buddha we can become attached to. Even the good ideas about things, even our idea about ourself we can be attached to. And yet, the whole is really moving all the time, and changing, and flowing. And Buddha says we suffer if we try to hold it. And if we open, Uttiyama Roshi says, open the hand of thought. We think, but we need to see that we're thinking, and reality is something else. He says the third sentence of Genjo Koan presents Dogen Zenji's own teaching concerning Buddhist practice. So he studied all of it, of course, deeply, including the Koan practice. But he saw things in a very different way. Maybe that's enough. goes on to talk about the Heart Sutra. Dogen wrote a whole fascicle in Shogo Genso about the Heart Sutra, in which he rewrote it in his own inimitable way, starting with the time of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, practicing profound Prajnaparamita, is the whole body clearly seeing the emptiness of all the five aggregates? Is the body seeing? Clearly seeing is itself prajna. To unfold and manifest this essential truth states that form is emptiness and emptiness is form. Form is nothing but form. Emptiness is nothing but emptiness. 100 blades of grass, 10,000 things. So you can say it in different ways, tweak it so that your mind lets it go. Let's it go, let's it go. The 12 sense fields are 12 instances of prajna paramita. All things are instances of prajna, of wisdom. There are also four instances of prajna. Suffering, its cause, cessation, and the path. Also, there are six instances of prajna. Generosity, pure precepts, calm, patience, diligence, quiet meditation, and wisdom. These are the paramitas. So he's just... There is also a single instance of prajna manifesting itself right now. Unsurpassable, complete, perfect awakening. Right now. So it's a very, very different, very fresh way of experience Buddha's teaching. It's the same, but it's a very fresh new way. So I'll stop there. There's time to talk. No questions? Perfectly clear. It's hard to talk about, actually.
Summarizing this huge, I guess, the whole Parmita, a lot of different books. They say this one just distilled it.
Yes.
Shobo Genzo is just another take on it from a slightly different point of view. I was kind of interested in the statement that this is like anything like the original statement of Buddhism. He wasn't exactly 100% correct. clear about that, other than saying that everything that they said now ain't so. It said no in front of it, you know. But it just sounds like Taoism or something, you know.
Well, it doesn't mean to negate it.
Yeah.
It isn't really a negation. It's just to encourage you not to be attached to it. To realize that it's just one more idea.
Okay.
It's another thought. And it's a very precious and wonderful thought, but it's just a thought that's aiming to show you something, but it's not doing it. No thought can do it. It's just an effort and a sort of pointing to. And if you begin to hold on to the words and the thought as if that was it, then you're missing the whole thing. That's the point.
That's the way that can be named is not the true way.
Same. Yeah.
There was a lot of influence.
There was.
Taoism, Zen.
Absolutely.
Charmed.
Yes. Well, that's how they understood it. When it first came to China, they said, oh, we have this thing. It's kind of like what Lao Tzu said. And they tried to fit it and understand it and used a lot of those words, the language was so difficult, and now we're having the same problem in trying to find words out of our own life and experience. And it's these transitions are very interesting. Violet, you have something?
For the most part. So there's billions of bacteria inside of us, and there are most of us actually.
Yes.
So we are a microcosm of a bunch of microcosms in our body. And then it kind of made me laugh how we have this whole idea of self and ego, and yet it's really just another bubble around a whole bunch of molecules.
Bugs.
Yeah, bugs, really, yeah. Bugs. And then because I was reading about diseases, we were working on something on the brain, and when they overgrow or undergrow is when we get sick,
mm-hmm.
really. And there's really one disease.
Yeah.
Everything else is just a manifestation of that one disease in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the frequencies of these. So when you were talking about the self part of yourself, thinking again how it would be so good to zoom out.
That's a great way of looking at it. It's not the kind of special way that we tend to think about ourselves. I love that view. I just love to be reminded of that. I think of it as a whole village or many villages, you know, of people living inside of us. And I always say they're living in our eyebrows and our eyelashes. And if we vow not to kill, then that means we're vowing not to mash our eyelashes and eyebrows. Yeah, but we can't. So it's just everything is alive around us, and we're alive inside and outside all over, and we just don't even think about it. We just think, this is me. But there are an awful lot of me. And you. And all of us. Yeah. Thank you. That's beautiful. Well, it's 8 o'clock. John's coming next week. So it won't be the Genjo next week. He has been preparing a talk. I don't know what. I'll be here, but he will give the talk. The talk. I'm eager to hear. Announcements?
I have an announcement. I've got lemons from the lemon tree, and I would hope that all of you would take a lemon, or as many lemons as you'd like to take.
Thank you.
And
the flowers.
I also brought some additional flowers, so if anybody needs some alustramaria for their altar, please do so. And those are my announcements.
Thank you very much. They look so beautiful that there was a shaft of sunlight coming right down when I walked in the door. What a gift. Okay. 1 minute sit.